You know, one of the biggest priorities here at the New Age Insiders is bringing the world of pro wrestling to you. And when it comes to emerging bright, shining stars in the world of pro wrestling, there really are no better examples than Maxwell Jacob Friedman. He is one of the most exciting young talents in professional wrestling everywhere, anywhere. You can see him everywhere. We've seen him all over the place. And it's been incredible to watch him really explode at such a young age. And you want to talk about somebody who's really becoming a wrestling prodigy. To be doing all he's doing and making the waves he's making at this young of age really tells you what the sky is the limit for this guy. You might have seen him at All In. You might have seen him at your local promotion around the country. And sooner than later, I think you're going to see him on even bigger stages. So MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, he is better than us, and we know it. And he is joining the New Age Insiders. Thank you so much for taking the time. It is great to talk to you.
Yeah, of course it is. I'm me. Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you are deaf, dumb, blind, stupid, or since you're listening to this podcast, let's just assume poor. My name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and as the incredibly unintelligent man just told you, I am the youngest and fastest rising star in quite possibly the history of professional wrestling. I have in nearly every single top promotion, coast to coast, across the border, and across the pond. And unfortunately, here today, I have to talk to these two fellows on the... What is the name of this podcast?
We're the New Age Insiders, and I appreciate you doing your homework as much as I have for this interview, so thank you so much for taking
the time. Yeah, whatever, man. So let's fire these questions off before I put a bullet through my brain, and let's try to get this thing as smooth through, like very smooth, as smoothly as possible.
All right.
How's that sound? What's your name, bud?
It doesn't even matter, because you're not going to remember it or use my proper name the entire time, so I'm not even going to dignify the response. My name is Jay, but I mean, at this point, it doesn't even really matter, I suppose. I'm just honored to be talking to you. I'm very nervous. We've talked to Scott Hall and Dolph Ziggler and Bill Goldberg, and I've never been more nervous, I think. I don't think the pressure's been on quite as much as it is right now. So MJF, one of the biggest things as we ring in 2019, one of the biggest shows and really events in wrestling in general in 2018 was absolutely All In. You were part of that All In experience. So my first and foremost jumping off question is, what's it like to put your name on that show, that it is the first All In? You know, you see All Elite Wrestling was announced today. Double or Nothing has been announced. So there's a lot of momentum going with Cody and the Bucks and the guys that put that show on. And you know you're part of the very first major production they've had. What was that experience like, and what do you think the future holds for these guys now that they're going to keep it rolling?
First of all, Jim, I was part of the A show, okay? I was in the first match in the most historic event in professional wrestling against Matt Cross. Glad you did your homework, you know. But how did it feel? It felt right. It felt like I should have been there. It felt like I deserved to be there. Listen to the crowd, they thought so too. I mean, the admiration and adulation I got when my music hit and I came to that curtain was absolutely bonkers. I mean, bonkers to others that wouldn't see it coming. I did. And as far as Cody and the Bucks go with this All Elite Wrestling venture and Double or Nothing, these three guys are changing the industry as we know it, and I'm glad that I got to be a part of the first step of that in the very first All-In show. Putting on what most people would say, one of the best matches on the card.
So you share a locker room during this huge event with guys ranging from Cody Rhodes, who obviously have a tremendous mind for the business, to Bully Ray, Bubba Dudley, who's had one of the best careers of his tenure in the industry spanning several decades. When you have the opportunity to rub shoulders with these kind of guys, these kind of wrestling minds, these kind of careers, what are the kind of questions that you ask? What are the kind of things that you're looking to absorb? What are the things that you're looking to take away when you have the opportunity to talk to such respected members of the pro wrestling world?
Listen, Josh, when people get to share a locker room with me, their sons are very much so lucky. Was it cute and cool that there were some interesting cats in that locker room? Absolutely. But I can assure you, I don't have to ask questions. I was born to do this, okay? I don't have to go up to the veterans and go, oh my God, did you, my match? I don't have to do that. Do you know why?
Tell me why.
I'll tell you why. It's because I was born to do this. People go, MJF, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. No, I was not. I might as well have been born with a wrestling ring under my feet because I was bred for this. God put me on this earth for one reason and one reason only, and it was to be a prodigy inside the squared circle. So no, I didn't go around like a geek with a notebook and a pencil asking for advice. When you're as good as me, 3 years in, you don't need advice. People need your advice.
Well, that really springs into my next question perfectly, which is one of the things that you've been really getting over for lately and being known for is your promos that include the expression talent over tenure, implying that it doesn't matter how long you've been doing this, it just matters how good you are at this. How true is that in your core and to your belief system that it isn't a matter of just being here for 10 years, it really does come down to how good you are? So I know that obviously it comes down to kind of turning it up during these promos and the adrenaline's rushing, but I mean, how true is that, that you believe that talent matters more than tenure?
That flows through my body, my brain, my soul, and my blood. Quite frankly, there's too many people in my age group and my experience that for some reason have to kiss ass because they haven't been pro wrestling long enough. That's the case. When Mike Tyson was knocking people out, bout after bout, do you think after his match is over, he grabbed the mic and said and cut a promo, "Oh man, I just got so lucky in that. Man, I'm only 22 to 23 years old. I can't believe I just won that bout." No, he didn't. You know why? He was better than the man across from him. I'm simply just better than people across from me, whether they're 8 years in, 10 years in, 15 years in, 20 years in. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the game. What matters is how good you are playing the game. And quite frankly, my good sir, nobody is better than MJF.
What are some of the measuring stick opponents you've had to establish this level of confidence? Because obviously, you know, you've been doing this for such a short period of time compared to a lot of your peers, and you really are making big waves in that short period of time. But was there a certain opponent, set of opponents in these last few years that you said, damn, if I can hang with those guys, that means I really do belong in this world?
I mean, to be completely frank with you, okay, if I have to look back at all my matches and tell you if there's anybody who made me look even remotely human in the middle of a professional wrestling match, the list is incredibly small. But if I had to think of names off the top of my head, I would mention Matt Cross. I would mention Sami Callihan. I would most certainly be remiss not to mention Joey Janela, even though that kid is so freaking brain dead. I suppose those would be the names that pop into my brain this second. Maybe Ethan Page and also Ricky Shane Page. Ricky Shane Page, while being complete fatty deathmatch garbage, happens to be quite underrated in professional wrestling. And he's, all things considered, he's hiding a lot of charisma and a lot of talent under all those fats. And I think it's going to be intriguing to see how he does in 2019. Going forward,
a big name around here on the East Coast where you worked recently that you just put on a tremendous match was with Hurricane John Walters. That's a name that for people in the Chaotic Beyond world up here on the East Coast that, you know, for the longer haul, you know, maybe the last decade or so, know John Walters, who recently came out of retirement. You guys were just outstanding. The performance that you guys put on, a real technicians kind of roll around, catch as catch can kind of match with a lot of fun spots. No, I'm not shocked. I'm just telling you that, I mean, that was one of my personal favorites. And we've seen you all over the place. We've seen you everywhere from, you know, New Orleans to up here in Boston. So, I mean, I'm a fan. I'm just telling you. I like you. I'm a fan. And you and John Walters were just tremendous. That also springboards to my next question as well, because you mentioned talent over tenure. And so there's a lot of guys that might say, you know, you got to hit a certain level, work a certain amount of matches, put in a certain amount of years. So I know this is going to be a question that ranges from wrestler to wrestler, but let me ask MJF, what are dues to you in the wrestling industry? And how do you know when they have been, quote, paid? Because it's a very common expression in wrestling, paying your dues. What does that mean to you personally? And how will you know if you've, quote, paid your dues in this industry?
Paying dues is an imaginary thing that was created by salty veterans who want to feel better about themselves because they've done little to nothing in our industry. What occurred to these guys when they were around my age and my experience, they were nowhere near as talented as I was. So they had to kiss butt. They had to sniff jock. They had to carry people's bags into the arena because in order for them to get a shot, they had to kiss ass. That is not something I've ever had to do. That is not something I ever will do because I'm good for that. If somebody ever looked at me and said, "Hey kid, pick up my bag," I spit on them. You don't talk to me like that. I am a blue chipper. I'm a prospect. I am a prodigy. And those are just straight up facts. So when I say talent over tenure, I am also referring to this so-called paying your dues. The only people who have to pay their dues are talentless hacks that are too afraid to make it out on their own without having somebody else push for them. I didn't need anybody else to push for me. MJF is his own man, and MJF is talented enough that he can make it out on his own two feet.
Wow. All right. Well, that pretty much covers it. How does it feel that Chris Jericho ripped off your scarf gimmick? Were you mad at him? Because I really do think you had that first. One of all the things that Jericho has invented in pro wrestling, I think I saw you with a Burberry scarf before I saw Chris Jericho really play up the whole scarf gimmick. So is there anything you'd like to say to Chris Jericho in response to just really total gimmick infringement?
Now, here's the thing, pal. There's different kinds of scarves. There are scarves that Chris Jericho wear, and trust me, they are beautiful. They are absolutely tremendous. And then there's the scarves that Maxwell Jacob Friedman wears. There is only one stamp of excellence when it comes to scarves, and that is Burberry. Rocking the Burb, and that is the only thing that a Maxwell Jacob Friedman will ever rock. You're not going to see me in any other kind of scarf, in any other pattern. The only thing that matters, the only thing that is a true stamp of wealth, excellence, and taste is a Burberry scarf. So I'm not giving Chris Jericho any shit. Chris Jericho is a legend. Chris Jericho wears beautiful scarves, but he does not rock the Burb like MJF rocks the Burb. Trust me.
Excellent. Well, Chris Jericho has obviously had an incredible career and, you know, made some big waves. And that's, you know, obviously a bar to strive to go to is the Chris Jericho level. But, you know, I'm not going to do what a lot of podcasts do, which is, I think, ask the most eye-rolling question in the world, which is, what are your goals? Because, I mean, everybody, I imagine, has the same goals, which is to be happy, to be healthy, and to be rich. I can't imagine that your goal is to break your leg, be poor, and just barely get by in this industry, right? So I'm not going to be redundant and ask you what your goals are. But I think that what we've seen over the last 3 to 5 years is the path to being happy, healthy, and rich has really changed. And it used to basically be you either made it in New York, you know, you made it in WWE, you made it in the big time, or you just sort of got by and might have been one of those old timers working at Elks Lodges into their 50s because they had to, not because they wanted to. But that really has shifted. We talked about All In earlier. You've already been part of a major event that's outside the quote-unquote mainstream. So given that I'm imagining MJF also wants to be happy, healthy, and rich, have you seen the world of wrestling change to be able to allow you to be those things without necessarily having to make it in WWE? And does that excite you as a performer to know that you've probably never had more options at your disposal to get out there and work?
Look, I was happy, healthy, and rich before I stepped in the professional wrestling game. I've only become happier, healthier, wealthier, and richer since I've stepped foot in it. I'm not going to lie to you. Going into 2019, I'm in an incredible position. I would equate myself to a draft one pick quarterback. Every single NFL team right now with big money is interested in me, and it's just a matter of let me scratch that. Let me ride that back. NFL, let's go to Collegiate, because it's my call. Am I going to go to Impact? Am I going to go to Ring of Honor? Am I going to go to... We have no idea. You have no idea. And quite frankly, right now, I know what I'm going to do. But we are in a phenomenal time, a phenomenal era, because guys like me at the tender age of 22 are making a living off of this. Guys like me at the tender age of 22 are going to be able to make a living off of this outside of WWE. WWE has great programming. WWE is a giant, and as it's produced some of the best talent the world has seen. So going into this 2018, we are seeing all these new companies that have money to give to fresh, new, young talent options. And options are a beautiful thing in business. I know you might not be incredibly tactful, but look at stocks, but professional companies, right?
Sure.
Four big money stocks that we can invest in and should invest in than ever before. So I am in a pretty good position, quite possibly a better position than anybody else on the independent professional wrestling scene right now as we head into January of 2019.
I agree. And I sincerely, wholeheartedly do believe that you are one of those, quote, like, people to watch. And as we see, you know, I know that every guy, you know, we play victim to, you know, who is NXT going to sign as, like, quote, the elite of the independent world and all that stuff with those waves that they bring in. But, like, as you were saying, whether or not you ever wind up in NXT, I think that's going to wind up being a personal choice of yours, because I can see them being extremely interested in you. But you would be part of that next wave of names that comes through that system, can sit in a crowd, can excite people, because one of the things that you do better than anybody, and I do mean that, is elicit a reaction from people. You get real genuine heat from crowds that I think want to like you and are excited that you're part of the show. But a lot like Tommaso Ciampa right now, you're just drawing heat because, you know, it's really tough not to get immersed in what you're doing. So my final question for you is, you know, when you're out there trying to draw this heat, trying to draw this reaction, are there things that are off limits to you? Are you just drawing strength from your own persona? Or when you're going out there and you're trying to get nuclear reactions from people, what's kind of the mindset and what are the buttons you're willing to push, not willing to push? And what's it like to be standing in a room where thousands of people perceivably want to kill you?
Here's the thing. This isn't a persona. I'm not trying anything. I'm not trying to get quote unquote insider term heat. I'm just me, man. And the thing is, when I'm me, it pisses people off. Some people hate me, some people love me, but at the end of the day, everybody respects me. And also everybody's jealous of me. And I think that's where the quote unquote heat on Maxwell Jacob Friedman comes from. Who wants to see a guy walk through the curtain that looks like he could bang both my mom and my girlfriend in one single sitting? It feels better than top tier Hall of Famers, is able to grab a microphone and make me go all the way to the edge of my seat until I plummet off of it and break my ass. I am that damn good. And that's what the issue is. I don't think people boo me because I'm trying to have them boo me. I couldn't give less of a shit what people think about me. People boo me because they know I'm that damn good and I'm not apologetic about it. I'm never going to be humble about it. But you know what? Humble doesn't create cash. You know what creates cash? Charisma. And nobody has more charisma than Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
I really don't disagree. I do. I think you're like a bona fide star, and I mean that from all my sincerity. We don't put over people that we don't believe in on this show. We don't ask people that aren't really people to watch to come on this show. So we're greatly appreciative of your time. I hope that, you know, I'm going to say that you're welcome here anytime. I'm sure you won't take me up on that because you didn't seem to have...
No, thank you.
No, exactly. I sincerely hope to make this a pleasure for at least one of us next time. But you really are one of the stars to watch, and if you're coming to town, people should go. We know that you're going to be in Woburn for Chaotic Wrestling's Pandemonium, which is an annual event people really look forward to up and down the East Coast. That is coming up Friday, January 4th. You'll be a part of that. And I know that you're, like I said, all over the place. So now's a great time to tell people where they can find MJF, because if you're coming to town, you should go.
Yeah, I'm going to be going heading over to Chaotic. I believe lanky Josh Briggs is in that match. Very excited to break his kneecaps in. After that, I will be going to Minneapolis, Minnesota for First Wrestling. And then after that, I'll be heading over to Inspire Pro in Texas, where I am the Inspire Pro Prestige World Heavyweight Champion. And I will be defending my title against Nick Gage, a ex-con, a loser, and a jailbird. And I very much so look forward to bringing the American judicial justice system straight to him with a right hook. Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you're not aware, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @_MJF. But let's face facts, if you didn't know that already, you're just dumb. My name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I am better than you, and you know it, and you will never hear me on this shit podcast ever again. Thank you so much, Jim. This was quite possibly one of the most boring hours of my life. I just pray to God that when the fans listen to this, their ears aren't bleeding from your awful questions. Ta-ta.
We can only hope together. Fingers crossed. So we'll see you on Friday. Maxwell Jacob Friedman, thank you so much for the time. And despite the lack of kind words you have for me, I still recommend highly you go out and check out this guy, because one day when he's an even bigger deal, you get to say that you saw him way back when, and maybe even get a picture for far less than he's going to wind up charging, because I have a feeling the rate will only increase over time. So MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, thank you for joining the New Age Insiders. We look forward to seeing you far more than you look forward to seeing us.
Yeah, man, whatever. Just hang up the phone.
You got it.